Good morning, everyone. I am excited to be here with you today. I'm excited to share God's word with you. So let's pray and then we'll get into it. Dear God, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you for the chance to come together and worship you, fellowship together, and to learn about you. And I pray that you would speak to us through your word today. I pray that your word would be powerful in our lives, and that it would be real to us, and that it would be helpful as we go about our days. And I pray that you would help us live for you and love you and be a blessing to others. And I pray that we would just understand how much you love us and that we would just draw close to you and have a really great relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. On February 9th, 2009, something was invented that I think in a large way has defined the culture and defined my generation. And so it's not the iPhone, if that's what you're thinking. iPhone was 2007. But on February 9th, 2009, the Facebook like button was released or introduced. And I think the Facebook like button and all the other like buttons we have on the internet are not only a big reflection of our culture and a reflection of who we are as people, but in a large way, it's also shaped the culture. When I think about posting something on social media like Facebook or Instagram, for me, there's no way I'm going to go to effort to take some nice picture, put a fancy filter on it, and write some clever caption if I can't see you put a thumbs up on it and see like 53 people put their thumbs up or their red little heart on it. What's the point of even posting anything if you can't see how much everybody likes it? And I think that's a really important part of social media because it's something that's really close to all of our hearts. Like, we all have this need to be liked. We all have this need for approval. And it's not just in social media. It's definitely in real life too. And lots of times teenagers are kind of famous for struggling with this the most, I think. Teenagers have to struggle with all this peer pressure, and there's this pressure to be cool and dress a certain way, and you want your friends to like you, and that's definitely real for teenagers, but I think kids have to deal with this as well. Can you guys raise your hand if you're less than 16 years old? Anyone? Any of the kids? Can you just raise your hand? We have the kids with us, and I'm glad you're here because I think this message is really important for you too, and it really affects your life. Kids want to be liked too. They want their friends to like them. They definitely want their parents to like them. Maybe they want their teachers to like them sometimes. So I think this is important for kids and teenagers, but also adults too. I think sometimes we think that this issue kind of goes away when we become older or something, but I kind of think it just becomes stronger. It plays out in different ways, but we all want somebody's approval. We want somebody to like us. We need people to like us, or we're probably not going to be very happy. We're not going to be content. And we all have different people that we want to like us. So maybe you want your boss at work to like you, or your friends, or maybe it's your wife at home, or your mom, or neighbors, or your landlord. We all have different people that we really want them to like us, but maybe if you're like me, you just want everybody to like you. It doesn't matter who it is, you just want people to like you. And this message, I think, I'm really excited about it because I think it's applicable to everybody, but it's also really personal for me because this is something that I really struggle with when I think about my life, like so much about what I do and how I think. It's so much affected by, I just want people to like me. I just want people to approve of the things that I do and who I am and the choices that I make. And maybe if you're like me, there's certain things that you want people to like you for. So we all have certain things that are important to you. You want to be known for something and you want people to like you for specific things sometimes. And so for me, preaching is a big one. I've been dreaming of being a preacher since I was 15 years old. And so when I get up here and talk to you, I can't tell you how much I want you to like me, how much I want you to like this sermon, and I think a lot of preachers struggle with this, but if I get too wrapped up in wanting you to like me and wanting you to like this sermon, if I'm so focused on trying to impress you, then I lose my power to impact you, because I'm just focused on getting the praise for myself, and I'm not actually giving you something that's helpful in your life and leads to God's praise and God's glory. And so We are going to look at the difference between impacting and impressing people today. But also, I think this need to be liked, it can get really dangerous and it can really paralyze you if you're just always trying to be liked by everybody, and that is what determines all of your decisions and all of the ways you act, and it can really become a prison in your life. And so the title for the message, if you're someone who likes to write down titles, is called The Prison of Praise. And the main point today, if you would like to write this down as well, is freedom from the need to be liked will unleash God's power, purpose, and peace in your life. So those are the three main points for today. Power, purpose, and peace. Freedom from the need to be liked will unleash God's power, purpose, and peace in your life. So the first one we'll look at is power. Freedom from the need to be liked will unleash God's freedom from the need to be liked will unleash God's power in your life. And when I talk about power, I'm talking about God's power. So like the power to overcome sin, the power to be filled with joy, the power to impact people and bless them, and also to advance God's kingdom and glorify Him. And I think you can have power for all these things when you're free from the need to be liked. And I think a lot of us go into a lot of situations, whether anytime you're interacting with people, maybe you go into work this way, or you go into even church this way. You go into a situation and you're so worried about what everybody thinks about you. And that motivates a lot of you, that motivates a lot of what you do, because you're worried about what people think of you. But you don't realize that they're not thinking about you, because they're so worried trying to get everybody else to like them. And I think this is so common. Anytime you have groups of people that interact with each other, everyone is so worried about getting other people to like them, getting compliments, being popular. Nobody is actually caring for each other. And I think it happens at work, it happens at school, it happens in church too. And if you can switch your mindset, and if you can go into situations where you interact with people and not live for their praise and not live for their compliments, but just live to show them that you care for them, that's going to be so powerful in their lives, because nobody lives like this. It will really, it throws people off when you actually care about them and you actually take a real interest in their lives. And so there's a lot of power in this when you live to impact people and you're not so focused on just trying to impress them. And so we're going to look at the story of Saul and Jonathan today. I think these are some stories that really illustrate these points of power, purpose, and peace in a really powerful way. And so if you have your Bible, you can turn to 1 Samuel chapter 20. We're not going to read it just yet, but you can turn there so that you are ready when we get there. But while you're turning there, just to give you some background in the story, I'm really fascinated by the story of Saul, because I feel like I really just relate to his struggles. Saul's story is a really sad story, but if you know his story, maybe you know that Saul was appointed as the first king of Israel in the Bible, and Saul didn't want to be king. He was just a simple, humble person. He didn't even want to be king, but God appointed him as the first king, and his reign actually started off pretty good. He won a couple battles, and he even gave glory to God in his early days as king. But I think somewhere along the way, it would seem that he just got addicted to everyone's praise and glory being king. And this happens a lot to popular people or famous people, people in high positions of leadership. But it can happen to anyone too. You just start to feed off the praise and the approval of other people, and you start to need that in your life. And sometimes you will achieve that. Sometimes people will praise you. But along with people's praise comes a big weight of their expectations. Because if you want them to keep praising you, you keep having to live up to everything that they want, live up to their expectations. And then you start having to be their hero if you take this too far. And so when you have to be the hero, there's no room to let God's power shine through, because you want your power to shine through, because you want people to like you. And so that's what happened to Saul. He started trying to do things that he wasn't supposed to do. Like, only the priest was supposed to give a sacrifice before the battle. And Saul decided that he was going to do it himself because the priest was too slow in coming. But everyone was looking to him to solve everything, and he was getting stressed, and he thought everything was about his reputation, and if this battle doesn't go well, then what are people going to think of me as king? And so he panicked, and he just did the sacrifice himself, even though it was directly against God's law. And Saul started to make lots of decisions like this, just living for people's praise instead of actually following God and living for God's praise. And as he did this, he became a really weak leader, because he had this weight of everyone's expectation and this weight trying to live up to their opinions. And so I don't know very many Hebrew words, but one Hebrew word that I know is the word glory in Hebrew is kavod, and it means weight. The word glory means weight. And I think that's a powerful picture of when you are living to get the glory for yourself, you're putting a weight on your head and a burden on your shoulders that you were never meant to carry. And it can start to weigh you down, it can slow you down, and it can really start to suck all of your power to live for God and to make any kind of difference in the world. And this happened to Saul. He's always just running around trying to make everybody happy. And so God tore the kingdom away from him and his family. And God said, I don't want the leader of my people to be like this, to be so weak and to always be so concerned with what everyone thinks. And so God said, you know, the kingdom has been ripped away from your family, Saul. But even though God gave Saul this punishment, God ripped the kingdom away from his family, he still allowed Saul to be king for a season. But even though Saul continued to be king, he was a really weak ruler. He was a really bad ruler. He had no real power, and he also lost his purpose. And so that's the second point. Freedom from the need to be liked will unleash God's purpose in your life. But if you are living for everyone's praise and you are living to be liked by everyone, you will not be able to walk in the purpose that God has for you. Because we've been given an incredible purpose by God. We get to have a high position in his kingdom that is going to last forever and conquer the entire world. And it's glorious and wonderful. But so many times I think we throw away our position in that kingdom, in God's kingdom, because we want to build up our own little kingdom. We're so worried about our reputation and wanting people to like us. And that affects our decisions. So then when things happen, we're not motivated by what's going to bring God glory. We're motivated by, what are people going to think about me if I do this? And we're so motivated by wanting people to like us. And so Saul started to live this way, and it had disastrous results in the kingdom of Israel. In chapter 18 of 1 Samuel, David starts to get really popular because he's a really powerful warrior. He's a good leader, and he's also a man after God's own heart. And David was getting so much praise from the people. And if Saul would have had his mind locked on God's purpose, Saul could have worked together with David, and they could have been a powerful force for the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Israel. But Saul was so worried about his own glory that he couldn't handle people praising someone else. So David could have been his number one general. They could have conquered so many kingdoms together. But David couldn't handle anyone giving praise to someone else. And so instead of working together to advance the kingdom and live in Saul's purpose as the king of Israel, he started fighting against the person who could have helped him the most. And he started trying to kill David. And so then when we get to 1 Samuel 20, Saul has already, for a season, been trying to kill David. And in chapter 20, you have Jonathan. And Jonathan is David's best friend, but he's also the son of King Saul. And so one day, Jonathan and David are talking. Jonathan and David were super close, so close to each other. And David tells Jonathan, hey, your father Saul is trying to kill me. Like, can you help me out? And Jonathan can't believe that his father would be doing something so awful. So he says, there's no way that my dad is actually trying to do that, but let me go investigate. And so a little bit after this, they had a special royal feast. And because it was a royal feast, obviously King Saul was there. Jonathan was there as the king's son, but David was also supposed to be there as an important member of the kingdom. But David didn't go to this feast, and Saul kind of notices, and he asks Jonathan, like, hey, where's David? What's going on? And if you look at 1 Samuel chapter 20, starting in verse 28, that's where I'm going to start reading. Saul asked Jonathan, hey, like, where's David? What's going on? So in verse 28, Jonathan replied, David earnestly asked me if he could go to Bethlehem. He said, please let me go, for we are having a family sacrifice. My brother demanded that I be there. So please let me get away to see my brother. That's why he isn't here at the king's table. Seems like a pretty reasonable request. I couldn't come to the feast because I had some important family obligations. But in verse 30, this is what Saul does. Verse 30, and this is the New Living Translation of the Bible. Yours might sound a little different, but it means the same thing. Saul, boiled with rage at Jonathan, you stupid son of a whore, he swore at him. Do you think I don't know that you want him to be king in your place, shaming yourself and your mother? As long as that son of Jesse is alive, you'll never be king. I think that right there perfectly illustrates the difference between Saul and Jonathan, the difference between who we're not supposed to be and who we are supposed to be. King Saul said, as long as that son of Jesse is alive, the son of Jesse is David, as long as David is alive, you'll never be king, Jonathan. Like, what's wrong with you? Why are you supporting someone who's standing in the way of you having your rightful position? But Jonathan didn't care about being king, because Jonathan was focused on building up God's kingdom, following God, and doing what's right. So he was happy to throw his support behind David, God's chosen leader, because he knew it was best for the kingdom of Israel. He knew it was the best way to advance God's kingdom. And he wasn't all concerned about, oh, I'm the son of the king, I should be king next. If I support David, then I don't get to be king. Like, Jonathan wasn't thinking like that. He was just thinking, I want to do what's right. I want to do what's ever going to be best for the most people. I want to glorify God with my life. And Jonathan didn't care about being king. And I wonder if even he didn't want to be king. Because maybe he saw what it did to his father. Maybe he heard the stories about young Saul, who was humble and simple. And then he saw his father, King Saul,